This morning, now we're looking at Matthew chapter 10, and I'm always on the lookout for a phrase in Scripture that we're going to look at, verse 1 of Matthew 10 down to verse 15. But I'm always on the lookout for a phrase or a word whereby we might use for a title. And what caught my mind and what caught my attention was what said in verse 8, Matthew 10, verse 8. Our Lord commanded them to go and preach the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, the sick are healed. In preaching the gospel, lepers are cleansed. In preaching the gospel, the dead are raised up. In preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, demons are cast out. Freely you have received, freely give. Freely have you received, freely give. Is there not a word that better describes the gospel? Is there a word? If there is a word that describes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's found in this word, freely. Don't you love that word, freely? Freely? I love to think about all the spiritual blessings we have received in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, so full and so free. We read a moment ago in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now I'm interested in that. You know why? I'm a bankrupt sinner. This bankrupt sinner has no merit to pay anything. But we receive everything freely by his grace. All spiritual blessings we have received freely in Christ. And then another scripture I like that uses that word. It's probably one of my, can I say it's one of my favorites? In Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you just love that? Justified freely by his grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's of the Lord, isn't it? And then another scripture that I like in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, we see that word again used freely. Now we've received, Paul said, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely have you received, freely give. Now the last verse of the previous chapter, in chapter 9, the Lord instructed us to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his field to harvest through the preaching of the gospel. Our Lord said in verse 37 of Matthew 9, the harvest truly is plenteous. And it's plenteous because of his plenteous redeeming blood. It's plenteous because of his grace. But he said the laborers, they're few compared to the plenteous. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And he did. The next verse tells us about these 12 men. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, notice they're disciples first. A disciple is one who's been taught of God. Been taught of God. His 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles. And here's the first time we read in the New Testament this word apostles. He had 12 apostles, those who were chosen and sent of God. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus demonstrates to us that he is the Lord of salvation. He's the Lord of salvation and the harvest of his elect among this dying, corrupt world. The good shepherd, as David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, the good shepherd will cross the path of his elect with the gospel, with the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, with the gospel by the means that he has ordained, and that is the plain, simple preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians, the preaching of the gospel to those who are perishing is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God and the salvation. For it pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to call out his elect, his chosen, his elect. And Paul writes about knowing, brethren, your election of God. Now, how do we know anything about God choosing a people unto salvation before the foundation of the world? How can we know that God chose us unto salvation? The only way we can know is this: knowing, brethren, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in the power of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit took that word, the seed of life, and quickened us and showed us and revealed unto us the beauty and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. The Lord has not changed in his person. He's still the holy sovereign God. He's always been. He has not changed in his character. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nor has he changed in his means and method to call out his elect from this dying, guilty world. We read, his sheep will hear his voice in the preaching of the gospel, and they will follow him. His sheep will hear his voice, and they will follow him, and he will give them eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. Now, we see at least two things from these verses in verse 1 down through verse 15 we'll look at this morning, or try to take a look at. We see the great privilege and responsibility of those who were sent to preach the gospel of God. We do so by the command of God. And then also we see the great privilege and responsibility laid upon those who have the gospel preached unto them. As one old timer said years and years ago, I preach as one who may never preach again. I'm a dying man who are preaching, and I preach unto dying men. And you sit there listening this morning may never hear another message, another gospel message. So listen carefully. Listen carefully. Now, in verse 1 and following, we see the making of an apostle or preacher of the gospel. And when he had called unto him, he called these men with that irresistible, effectual call of God. He called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he called unto him. It's a call of grace unto Christ himself. Salvation's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called. Now, he had many disciples followed him, but he chose these 12 particular men on purpose, and he made them apostles, and he gave them special credentials that they were sent of God. He gave them power. He gave them power. He is the one who has all power over all flesh, and he can give power sovereignly to whom he will. And he gave these men, these 12 disciples, who were later known as the 12 apostles, he gave them power against demon spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now, the name of these 12 apostles, and that word apostle simply means one sent of God. We know a lot about Simon Peter. He was a fisherman by trade. The Lord gave him this name, Peter. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And Peter had a brother named Andrew. Isn't it a great thing when the Lord calls a brother and then his natural brother? You experienced that, didn't you? To have a brother in the Lord and a brother in the flesh, and yet have a brother in the Lord together. And this was Peter and Andrew. And also is mentioned James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And we know about James, who was beheaded by Herod. And we know a lot about John. John We have the gospel according to John. We have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then John received that revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. Now all these men were martyred for the gospel. All these men gave their life for the gospel. Think where they are now. They're with the Lord now. And then he mentions Philip. He mentioned Bartholomew. He mentioned Thomas. Remember Thomas, when he heard that the Lord had been resurrected, you remember what he said? I won't believe that he's really risen from the dead unless I see those nail prints in his hand and that scar in his side. And when the Lord appeared to him, you remember what Thomas said? When the Lord showed him, behold my hands, my feet, my side, he said, my Lord and my God. This is Thomas. He's known as Doubting Thomas, I guess because he said to the others, I won't believe till I see with my own eyes. And he did, and he believed. And then we have Matthew. And Matthew always refers to himself as the publican who cried out for mercy. We know the Lord, we've seen the Lord calling Matthew. Remember in Matthew chapter 9 where the Lord stepped up to his table and said, Matthew, I think it would be a good idea if you followed me. If you want to, make that decision. You can follow me. You know, really a big good thing. He said, no, Matthew, follow me. And Matthew closed up his books, closed up shop, shut his business down, and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Followed him all the way until his life was taken. And then we have James, the son of Alphaeus. James is the one who wrote by inspiration the epistle of James. And then Lebius, whose surname is Thaddeus, who is referred to, and we have the letter by the apostle Jude. And then Simon the Canaanite, and then, of course, everyone knows the name of Judas. Whenever you think or whenever you hear that name Judas, what do you think of immediately? The one who betrayed the Lord, don't you? I don't think any mother would name a little baby boy Judas, would they? Probably not. Peter, John, James and John. But not Judas, because he's known as one who betrayed the Lord. In John chapter 6, when the Lord asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, have not I chosen you 12? One of you the devil. This he spoke concerning Judas. Now he knew that Judas was a reprobate from the beginning. But the Lord used Judas for his own purpose, for the glory of his justice, the glory of his justice. So he called these 12 men who heard his word, who sat at his feet, who saw the miracles he did. I mean, that was these miracles the Lord did were just beyond doubt. The dead were raised to life. We've seen that in chapter 9. That little 12-year-old raised from that 12-year-old daughter, raised from the dead. They saw these things. Lazarus come forth, was dead. They saw the lepers cleansed. They saw these things. They saw the miracles. They were disciples who were taught by God, who were chosen by God. They were first learners and followers, and the Lord prepared them for the work of the ministry. That's the way the Lord teaches a man and prepares a man for the work of the ministry. Now, I had no idea when I was a younger man. I've been in the ministry for 40 years. I had no idea when I was a younger man that the Lord was calling me to preach the gospel or to pastor a church and preach the gospel. I had no idea. But all the while the Lord was teaching me and preparing me, and then one day he called me and sent me forth. Those who would teach others first must be taught of God. He taught me the message, then I've tried to teach you the message, and God has revealed it unto you. My pastor used to say, you cannot tell what you don't know, and you cannot believe what you've not experienced in your heart. Now notice the commission he gave them. He gave them power. Now, where does power come from? Where does power originate? A lot of kings and princes and governors and presidents, they think they have power, don't they? They think they have power. You remember what Pilate said to the Lord, don't you know I have power to crucify you or the power to release you? Remember what the Lord said? You don't have any power over me except my Father gives that power unto you. You see, the king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it and manipulates it the way the Lord determines things to be done. He gave them power. All power is given of God. Our Lord prayed that in John 17, Father, you've given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to me. And then in Matthew 28, the risen Lord said to these same men, he said, I have power given unto me over all things. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Because I have power, I send you forth with power. He gave them power over demon spirits, over all manner of disease, as it says there, in verse 8, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, and do so by the grace of God. The Lord, who has all power, gave them ability to act in his name, to preach in his name, and to heal in his name. You remember we studied in Acts chapter 3 when that crippled man was laying at the gate called Beautiful. And Peter and John went to the temple that day to pray, and they fastened their eye on that man who was begging for some money. And Peter said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man got up and he walked, leaping and praising God. These apostles had God-given authority and power to do these miracles. Why did God give them those powers and credentials? Well, those apostles didn't have the completed word like we have today. They came speaking the message of the gospel, and to prove they were sent of God, God gave them these credentials to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to know that the people would know that they were truly sent of God, sent of God. We also see the purpose of their ministry. First and foremost, it was unto the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, the apostle said, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The purpose of their ministry went beyond just healing some sick people. The purpose of the ministry was to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. They did what they did in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So everything we do, we should do to this end, to this goal, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said to the Galatians, God forbid I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to heal the sick, didn't he? And that's what the gospel does. If you look at these things, not only in a physical aspect, but in a spiritual realm, what does the gospel do to people who are sick with sin and diseased with sin? And we are spiritual lepers. And remember what the leper said to the Lord, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord said, I will, be thou clean. So when we see these things of healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and raising the dead and casting out the demons and freely receiving all things and freely giving out all things, we can look at those things in a spiritual sense, what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ actually accomplishes when the gospel is preached in the power of God the Holy Spirit and is taken home to the heart of the sinner. He heals our sick heart. He cleanses us from all our sin. He raises us up from the dead. You have been quickened who were dead. And he cast out the influence. He cast out the devil's lie. What is the devil's lie? The devil's lie is God loves everybody. The devil's lie is Christ died for everybody. The devil's lie is God's trying to save you, but you won't let him. When God saves us by the gospel, he casts out those lies and he teaches us the truth. Does that make sense? So we see the purpose of their ministry. Christ came to save sinful men, to justify the ungodly, and to set sinners free from the bondage and curse of the law. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ sets us free. He sets us free from the curse of the law. There is not a spiritual disease that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot heal. The gospel of Christ is the remedy for every sinner to be made whole. Remember we studied in Matthew chapter 9? He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We've had that on the radio for the last two Sundays, Romans 5, verse 6. We see something of their message was about the kingdom of Christ to the lost sheep. Notice down in verse 5. These 12, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, sent forth. They didn't go of their own. They were sent forth. And they were sent forth with the command of God, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, not right now, and into any city of the Samaritans. Remember, the Jews avoided those Samaritans. They were intermingled with the people from Syria and Babylon. And enter not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, 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 saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What does that mean? The kingdom of heaven is a person. A person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the kingdom of heaven. He is heaven. Where is heaven? Christ. Christ. He's all in the kingdom of God. Christ is all in and all. Their message was about the kingdom of Christ. Their message was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What do the lost sheep need to hear? They need to hear the good news of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from first to last. This was the message of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is at hand. This was the message of the Lord. Salvation is at hand. The salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. It's near. It is here. He is it. Salvation, as I've said over these, do you realize I've been here almost 30 years preaching to you the gospel? And I've always said that salvation's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation's in a person. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So we're not looking for an earthly kingdom. We're not looking for an earthly paradise. We're looking for Christ. If you have him, you have everything. He's all you need because Christ is all and in all. The Lord sent the gospel first to his elect among the Jews and then raised up the apostle Paul to minister to God's elect among the Gentiles. The message was first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. But what did most of the Jews do? Turn to Acts chapter 13. Hold your place there in Matthew 10. Turn to Acts chapter 13. You remember when Paul, the apostles of the Gentiles, Paul, by the way, replaced Judas. He's called the apostle, the servant of Jesus Christ, the apostle of Christ. But if you look at Acts chapter 13, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. Paul had preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Be it known unto you, and therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin," verse 38, "and by him all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." That was his message. We're justified in Christ, justified from all things. Now look at verse 44. "The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Acts 13, verse 46. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing that you put it from you and you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, well, we turn to the Gentiles. God has an elect among the Jews, out of every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue, and elect among the Gentiles." Now read on. "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentile, that thou shouldest be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Who is the light? Christ is the light. We preach Christ and him crucified. "And when the Gentiles heard this," verse 48, "they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed the gospel. Whom he did predestinate, he also did conform to be to the image of Christ. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed." So the message was to the Jew and also to the Gentile, and those who were the elect of God, who were given the faith of God's elect, fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was their message. He gave them a people to preach unto, the elect of God, in that day. But now we're commanded of the risen Lord, the glorified Lord, we're commanded now to go and preach the gospel to every creature. The elect of God will hear that message and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's happened when a sinner hears the word of God, the gospel of God. He's given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Now look at the last part of verse 8. "Freely have you received, freely give." Freely we have received, and freely give out the message of the gospel. Because the Lord Jesus Christ fully paid our sin debt, everything for us is free. It's free. Now, I can't overemphasize that word free. Free. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Because he paid our debt in full, what do we owe? Praise and adoration and thanksgiving. But the debt is paid, and we honor him by believing him. But we don't owe anything for our sin because it's been put away. We studied in chapter 10, verse 17, where it said, "Their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more." They don't exist. That's the way of grace. The way of grace is the free way of grace. Now, I thought about this. The way of grace in the garden before the fall of Adam was the word freely. Listen to what God said in Genesis chapter 2. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." You see, it started out by the free gift, didn't it? Freely eat. And that's the way the Bible concludes. Did you know in Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, it started freely eat and it ends freely take. You remember Revelation 22? Let me read it to you. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Take it freely. Take it freely. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not up for sale. Pay so much and you're justified. Doesn't say that, does it? do certain works and you're justified. Doesn't say that, does it? We're justified freely by His grace. The gospel is as free. I thought about the gospel is as free as the air you breathe. How much did you pay for the air that you breathed this morning? You didn't even think about it, did you? You just breathed it because it's the free gift of God. That's the way salvation is. It's the free gift of God. It's as free as the air you breathe. In the economy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, everything is free. Free. Free for the enjoyment. You remember Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." I like that economy, don't you? Come without money and without price. Don't bring your money. Look to Christ. Everything is free. "Come unto me," He said, "all your labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." And then we read of another scripture in the book of Hosea. You remember the story of the prophet Hosea and his unfaithful wife, Gomer? And God uses that as an illustration of His love toward us Gomers. He said, "I'll heal their backsliding. I'll love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him." God loves us freely. Freely by His grace. Freely by His grace. Now, notice verse 9 and following. Verse 9 and following. He said, "Provide," and the marginal reference there says, "get neither gold nor silver." He didn't send the apostles out seeking gold or silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey. Don't even take a bag. Don't even carry a suitcase. Don't take two coats. Just one will do. Don't take many shoes. Just a pair of shoes will do. Don't take many staves, but just one staff, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Verse 11, "Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire in it who is worthy, and there abide. And when you come into a house, salute it, honor it, because they're worthy by believing God and fearing God and reverencing God. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it," verse 13. "But if it not be worthy, let your peace return." Don't stay there. "And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." Now on verse 14, turn one page and look at verse 40. Those who will not receive the message of the apostles will not receive God. He says in verse 40, "He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So if you don't receive the message of the apostles, you do not receive God who sent them. God who sent them. Now, Paul, as I mentioned, was a replacement for Judas who betrayed the Lord. Every gospel preacher is taught of God. Every gospel preacher that is sent of God is taught of God and has a message of the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul said, "I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." We preach not ourselves, but we preach the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That is our message. Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul said in another place, "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." God still sends men. He calls them by His grace, calls them out of darkness, teaches them the gospel, and sends them forth to preach the gospel. And He will provide for them as He sends them forth. The Lord provided for these men. They were not to seek fame and fortune for doing what the Lord sent them to do, but rather depend upon the gracious giving of those who benefited from their ministry. He's saying here, the Lord will provide. Later on, when these men came back, the Lord asked the question, about when he initially sent them out. He said, "Did you lack anything when I sent you out?" They said, "Nothing. Nothing." And isn't that true of us in concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation that is in him? Do we lack anything? No. Everything God requires, he freely provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has not changed. He is still Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He will provide for us all that we need to stand before God justified in him. Now when he says inquire who was worthy, not that any did merit God's favor, but rather abide with those that fear and worship the true and living God. There abide, and peace be upon them that will hear and receive the gospel. A good example of that is when Peter was sent to the house of a Gentile named Cornelius. And God had done a work in the heart of Cornelius, what we call a work of grace, a pre-work of grace before Peter was sent to preach the gospel. I'm trying to think of a word. I can't get it out of my... I'll think of it in a minute. But a good example of that is given in Acts chapter 10 when Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius. Prevenient grace. That's what I want to say. Prevenient grace. Grace before grace. Prevenient grace. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I have senior moments. Got up this morning, tried to come over here at 6 o'clock. I could not find the keys in my truck. Guess where they were? In my pocket. I felt about that big when I said to my wife, "Where's my keys? Where'd you put my keys?" They're in my pocket. Oh. Prevenient grace, that is grace before grace. You remember when Peter came to the house of Cornelius and God had done that preparatory work in the heart of Cornelius in his house, and he said, we're all here to hear the word of God. And Peter preached the gospel of Christ unto them. And they were saved by the grace of God. Those who refuse to hear the word, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake the dust of your feet off as a witness against them. Verse 15 in closing, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. To hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and disbelieve it, that's a high offense to God. Hear it and believe it. Those who go on hearing without believing, listening without repenting, coming to church services without coming to Christ, those who refuse to believe the gospel will face the God of all the earth who will do right. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God. What happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? The wrath of God. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. I don't want to face God, the holy, righteous, just God, without a mediator designated and appointed of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Every sinner that is saved by the grace of God, who stands in the Lord Jesus Christ in union with him and one with him, they'll hear God Almighty say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."